the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
One of the more deflating endings that you'll see, but there are other reasons the Brewers had lost this game. Tough one to swallow. 6-5, the loss to the Reds in game one of a weekend series. We'll break down the ninth inning right off the top. I'm Dominic Catronio. Please be joined in person by the one, the only, Jerry Augustine. Augie, good to have you back here with us on the program. I mean, you didn't exactly bring a fun one, man. Wow. Man, that ninth inning had a little bit of everything, but I think what everybody wants to hear and wants to talk about, why the heck was Blake Perkins bunting? In my opinion, and let me start with, it sounds as though after hearing Pat Murphy's quotes to the media a moment ago, that Perkins was going on his own. There was no bunt sign. There's no expectation of a bunt. Murph called it a youthful moment, and when you're a team that's relying on young players like Perkins, who's only in his second year in the big leagues, that mistakes like that are going to happen. In my opinion, Perkins lost track of the outs. That's the only explanation I can give. Because after the review, you know, during that whole review, it shows one out on the board. Then it turns out, calls overturned, there's two outs, and he still drops down a bunt with a guy who's not the fastest at third with Joey Ortiz. That's the only explanation I can come with before we hear from Blake. But nonetheless, it was just the wrong call.
Well, you know, this team has won and done some things that have been magical. You look at the way they play, especially at home. You know, they have a 21, I believe, in 11 or 21 and 12 now record at home, and doing some really nice things, hitting and running, scoring position, moving runners over. And every once in a while, you look at that one thing that you can do that might help your ball club, and young players try to maybe take more of a chance than a veteran player. I think one thing he took that, and I agree with you, I think he didn't know the outs. After all the commotion that went on with the replay at home plate and being called out, I think he looked back over at third Candelaria at third base, and if you looked at where he was playing behind the base, saying, I get this ball down, you know what? We're going to tie the score. We're going to go next round. We got a good chance. Why? Our bullpen's that much better. So I agree with you. I think it's one of those moments where a young player comes up and he tries to do too much or doesn't quite understand. But I think another thing, he looked and he saw that Candelaria was back at third base and he thought, I get the ball down, that's an easy base hit.
And with one out, I'm fine with that. That's a genius move by the nine hitter facing an elite all-star closer who's got nasty wipeout stuff. And I know some people are saying, oh, Dom, he's not throwing a strike tonight. He had 2 3-1 counts. Alexis Diaz thrives on chase, and as soon as you give him more pitches to find it, he's going to find it. And obviously Perks popped out, but let's go earlier in the game. How many opportunities did the Brewers have? I know the ninth inning leaves a sour taste in your mouth, but entering that ninth inning, they were 0-11 with runners in scoring position.
That today was just one of those nights where they just couldn't get they couldn't do the little things. But there, again, you look at what you're doing, you got to give some credit to Green on the mound. This is a young guy who has the great velocity. They talk about his velocity being over 100, and he's starting to get a little bit better with location. But you look, he pitched 5 innings tonight. He had 105 pitches. That's a lot of pitches he throws, but he throws the ball so well. He's not a kind of guy that, you know, you go up there and it's going to be an easy take because he's got a good breaking ball. He's got an explosive fastball, and when he's on, he's pretty darn good. So I think sometimes you guys just have to give the pitcher the credit. And with a guy like Green out there and improving like he is since the beginning of the year, I think that had a lot to do with it.
The Brewers had a base runner in every single inning tonight. They drew 5 walks from Hunter Green. Heck, the Reds did their best to hand it to the Brewers. Look, Ellie De La Cruz is a really good player, and he can hit. He hit a triple tonight, and it looked effortless. But my God, that was awful shortstop today. And I'm sorry to be so blunt, but quite frankly, it should have been a double play, and there should have been a man on third and 2 outs, and it's still 6-3, and maybe we're never even talking about a Blake Perkins bunt blunder. Ellie De La Cruz wanted to hand this game to the Brewers. He made 3 actual errors in the scorecard, 4 if you include the double play that he botched. The Brewers could not take advantage of mistakes from the Reds tonight. The Reds' defensive MO came through tonight, and they're a below-average defensive team, and it nearly bit them tonight.
Well, you know, when you're facing a team like Cincinnati, you got the great young pitching that they do have, and you got a guy like Green on the mound, you have five walks and five errors. How many times are you going to win a ball game? Really?
Almost never.
You said it perfectly. And, you know, I thought in the double play, he tried to get a little too quick, and sometimes maybe you make, with young players, they make errors earlier in the game, right? Away, they're going to try to make up for it. How do they try to make it up? Rather than slowing the game down, taking one out at a time, they could try to get too quick. And I think right there, it looked like the ball got in on him a little bit, and he tried to be quick with the ball, and he popped out of his glove. So, you know, you look at those two things, Dom, and I think he is a good young player. But tonight, I'll tell you what, he didn't have to have a good day at shortstop.
And in the whole aspect of the ninth inning, let's just go ahead and go through that ninth inning against Alexis Diaz. Brewers down 6-3 to start the inning. Heck, Yelly started the inning showing bunt, but pulled it back and ended up chopping a single over third base to start the inning. Then Adames singled right back up the middle. That put first and second. And then the error that we're talking about with Ellie that allowed Reese to reach. It should have been a 6-4-3 routine double play. Instead, Ellie bobbles it. It loads the bases with nobody out, and we know that's been the Achilles heel for the Brewers. Frelick hit a soft line out to second for the first out of the inning. Then a bases-loaded walk by Ortiz, which I thought was a big league at-bat by him to not get too big after swinging on a 2-0 pitch. And then, with the bases loaded and the Brewers down by two, tying run in scoring position, Jackson Churio, who we will talk about tonight, he had maybe his best game as a big leaguer without leaving the yard. Churio lines a single the opposite way. It was just over a leaping glove of the first baseman Steer, and Bowers was pinch running for Hoskins, and that's another conversation to have. Why was Bowers running instead of Oliver Dunn? But I don't want to make this the pile on the manager show, but that's just something that I noticed. Like, why not use Oliver Dunn there and then put Bowers in defensively if you needed it? But there doesn't need to be any further breakdown there. Churio lines a single to right. Runner from third scores. That was Adames. Bowers trying to score from second. He had the freeze, making sure that ball got over Steer's glove. He comes home, throw from right field's on the money, head first slide, close play. And then the oddity of that play was it looked like hand got in there and umpires are taught, don't give a signal until there's a tag made. And the umpire did not make a signal. So Bowers is sitting there waiting, so the catcher, Tyler Stevens, says, oh, well, I guess I missed him, goes and tags him, and then he called him safe. I was so confused by all of that, and it even fooled Bob Uecker on the radio because he called him out because that's what we're used to seeing, right?
Right?
Waiting
Absolutely.
For the call. After review, the right call was made. Bowers was out at the plate, and then the bunt, that was a failure. Chaos ending. I mean, I'm personally fine with the send. I question more about the personnel of why they used Bowers over Dunn, but again, they were struggling with runners in scoring position. They're at the bottom of the order. You've got a swing-and-miss type pitcher on the mound. I know Bowers isn't the fleetest of foot. Benson has a good arm, but it can be wily sometimes. Test him, make the play, and here we are sitting talking about another out of the plate.
I'll tell you what, Benson made a perfect throw. Just about a perfect throw. I thought it was a better play by Stevenson, the catcher, to catch the ball and reach out, stretch, and get the play. It looked like right there that Bauer was trying to do a little bit what they call when you slide, sometimes you do what they call a swim move where you lead with your hand and you bring your hand around and touch the plate with your front hand. He went by it and missed it, and but right then we saw it in the replay where the slide got in the Stevenson put the ball down and his hand went right into the glove and it was out. So, but it was a great play by the catcher. I thought the throw was good. It had to be right on where it was. But in order to make a good go out and get the ball and go just slide to the plate, that hopefully you can get a tag on that. I thought Stevenson made a great play.
And for folks asking, wait, was Stevenson blocking, pushing his arm out? No, I think that was just an act of the play.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think there was anything malicious of intent there, just reaching back, trying to make the play, and Bowers just, you know, was dead to rights, quite frankly, with the great throw from Benson. StatCast tells us that throw from Benson was 92 miles an hour from right field. But again, the big moment was the fact that he had to freeze and the fact that he had to make sure that ball got over Steer's glove before he could get going. With two outs, he probably scores because he's going on contact.
But
that's the margin of this game, and it's also the margin of maybe having a little bit of a faster runner there on base in my thought of it maybe being Oliver Dunn.
It is a tough play, and you know what? The one thing that you have there as a third base coach, that's where you have to make that decision. You know, how good is Benson's arm? He's a young player who's been a little bit erratic in the outfield with his arm, but he's got a great arm. What do you do in that situation? And I think when you look at the what you have to do there, that moment when you have to pause, they all say, when you have to pause, you don't take that chance. That one thing, there'll be players that you understand that don't have the great arms, are not going to be accurate. Yeah, then you go. But this young man, Benson, has a pretty good arm. And when Bauer had to take, like you said, just take that little pause there, that's a tough decision for a third base coach. And I don't wrong him. I thought he did what was right. It was just a perfect play by Stevenson.
855-616-1620 is the phone number, 855-616-1620. Josh in Milwaukee, a lot to unpack, but we just weren't effective enough with all the scoring chances we had tonight. Freddie threw a lot of pitches early and had a lot of hard contact against him. I know we make some aggressive decisions, but your take on sending Bowers? Just talked about it there in a moment. I'll get to Brian's text after the break. Want a reminder, the Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Take a breather. Come back with more with Augie after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Dom Catronio, Jerry Augustine with you here on WTMJ after a tough loss, 6-5. Brewers fall to the Reds game one of a three-game set. Let's also let this be the moment that, hey, Perkins has acknowledged his mistake. The Brewers have acknowledged his mistake. Leave it be. He made a mistake. Grow up, and it's going to be okay after that. Just make sure it doesn't happen again, quite frankly. But also, if you're the type of person that like tags athletes after a tough loss on social media, unfollow me and stop listening to this show, because I don't want you to be a part of my life. I think you're just a bad person. Anyway, Freddie Peralta did not pitch well tonight, and I hope people aren't tagging his accounts either. But hey, let's have a real conversation here about Freddie, because we were having this conversation about Freddie last season when he was off to a slow start. And I got the numbers to back this up, too, here, Augie. You know, it was easier to hide when you had Corbin Burnes and you had the great stuff from Wade Miley going at this point last season. But through 14 starts last year, Freddie had a 4.60 ERA and it allowed 14 homers in 76 innings. This year, through the fifth inning tonight, he had thrown 75 and two-thirds innings. His ERA was 4.29. With 11 home runs. So three fewer homers and 0.3 of an earned run. I mean, that's virtually identical. From there on, we knew he was a better pitcher, especially at the end of June and especially in the second half. So we can't say that we'd never seen this before from Freddie, but at the same time, I think it's more magnified because he's in that spot at the top of the rotation.
You know, I look at it two ways. Number one, first of all, I think Freddie's an unbelievable talent. I think he's just got so much talent. He's a kind of guy that goes out and works hard and always wants to come in and do the best he can to keep the team in the ballgame. But I think any time that you're thrust into being that number one guy, you know, last year he didn't have that. We had Burnes, and the year before that we had Burnes and Woody, and he was that third guy. He'd just go out and be himself, and he could just use a fastball and go right at him. I think when you're that number one guy, sometimes your expectations of yourself get that much higher and that much stronger. And I think one thing that Freddie is, he's still fastball Freddie. No matter what anybody says, I don't care what anybody tells me, he's still fastball Freddie. Because when Freddie Peralta goes on the mound and he pitches with the fastball, his secondary pitches become that much better. And I think what happens is he's getting that little education that you get to say, hey, you know what? when you think you're the number one guy, you want to be that guy each and every time out, and you got to go and perform well. That education part was, I have to be consistent. I have to go out and understand that when I go out there, I have to dominate with my fastball. It's going to be the pitch that I need to throw in good spots. My secondary pitches will get me where I want to go, but my fastball is going to be the pitch that I got to really set up and get really set the tone for a game. And I just think Freddie's just going through a period right now where he hasn't thrown the ball as well as he did early in the year, but he still can be very, very dominant. Is that he's just sometimes overthinking and are trying to do too much on the mound rather than taking that step back and say, I'm just going to be Carnival Freddie and I'm going to come at you.
Yeah, I look at it with Freddie today, too. Gave up a career-high 10 hits tonight. That's so right. A lot of contact, more than usual. The big thing that alarms me is 7 of those 10 hits were on fastballs. And a lot of them, as I'm looking at the game chart now, meet in the zone, middle third, as far as like vertical zones, a lot. There's 3 in the bottom third. Nothing really elevated except for one that's just kind of one that you tip your cap to. But look, Freddie needs to get swings and misses in the zone. But with locations like I'm showing you now here, where they're in the zone, but like catching too much of the plate, there's a difference between a strike and a quality strike, right?
Absolutely. No question. And I think that's where we talk about fastball Freddie that he has to do with locating those pitches. We're looking at pitches that are hit and you get into certain counts and the ball's down in the middle of the plate. Freddie still has to pitch to the corners of the plate. He still has to pitch in his quadrants. Early in the season, I thought he did an outstanding job of pitching what we call the four quadrants, up and in, up and away, down and in, and down and away, and really kept the ball on the outer half. Stay out of that middle part. We always talk about Colin Ray. Why is he so successful? He stays out of the middle of the plate. And I think sometimes Freddie lately has gotten back and the ball's leaked over the plate a little bit. It's caused him a little bit of problem.
So with Freddie having these struggles, knowing that a turnaround needs to happen sooner as opposed to later, you identify the fastball. The Brewers have thought they identified the fastball for him too, and it hasn't clicked. When you're a pitcher and you're in a rut like Freddie is in right now, where your velo numbers were better today as they were last time. Last time he was trying to find his command and trying to figure it out because everything was so out of sync. Today the velo is back to normal. What are you doing? What's the drawing board look like when you're in a rut like this where it just can't seem to find that swing and miss, that pitch that you've relied on for so long, it just seems to not be there right now.
I think sometimes you go back and you look at yourself early in the season, where were you having success? You know, he was having success where he could throw that four-seam fastball up in the zone and have that little ride and guys were swinging through it. Well, I think what you try to do is you talk about location and execution, then you think about the pitch itself. When you go out there and you execute with your fastball, if I want that fastball down and away and I want a four-seamer down and away with a good velocity on it, I get it to the outer third of the plate or in that good zone. All right, throw the two-seamer down. What's the positive thing about a two-seamer? It's a ground ball pitch. Where's the location of that pitch? Is it leaking over the middle plate? Well, when a two-seam fastball goes over the middle of the plate, leaks over the middle of the plate, that's a real hittable baseball. And I think that's what you have to do. You have to go back to your execution of the pitches that you have and where they've been successful. And I think Freddie can do that. I think he can do it very simply. It's just getting that mental, that educational part of it and saying, I'm going back to be fastball Freddie. I'm going to locate. And when I do that, my breaking ball is very good. My changeup is getting better and better. And I can throw those pitches for strikes. I can dominate again.
855-616-1620 is the phone number. Brian from Tosa, crazy ending tonight, but it should have never come to that. For the night, we were 1-for-16 with runners in scoring position. I'll do you one better here, Brian. In fact, on this homestand, the Brewers are just 3-for-41 with runners in scoring position. If not for the 5-run inning on Wednesday and being shut out on Tuesday, they were 0-for-10. The other concern is Freddie Peralta's recent outings. Needed to pitch like the ace he needs to be at the moment. He is not pitching like that ace. And tomorrow, facing a lefty with Abbott, who shut us down in the past. I agree. This one from the 262. Want to continue the conversation with fans attacking players on social media. Nobody's more frustrated with his struggles and performance than Freddie. Players are human. I had somebody in my mentions tagging Blake Perkins, which I think is brutal. And in fact, Blake just spoke to the media downstairs. I'm going to listen to it in the break to hear what he had to say, and we can relay that here on the postgame show. Those are the worst feelings, right? When the media is in there, when you were the reason, you know, kudos to Blake. I haven't heard it yet, but kudos to Blake because that's the kind of guy he is. He wore it. He's out there talking to the media and doing what you're supposed to after that.
Let's talk about all the young kids. You know, I was listening to a show the other day, and they were talking about, hey, the young Brewers are really doing well. And they list what Frelick has done and Terang has done and Perkins has done and Bauer and all these kids have done such a great job. And they have done a great job. But with these guys going and doing a good job on the field, Dom, I think you'll agree with me. They're class individuals. Mm-hmm. They understand it. And what Blake's going to say, you know what, like you said, maybe he just missed the outs. Or maybe he said, I was trying to do something special. That's a great take. You take ownership of what you do, and you get better. When you do that, you become a Major League Baseball player, and that's what these guys want to be.
Yeah, so we'll hear from Perkins here in a moment. And then we do got to talk. There were actually a couple of positives from tonight's game that we do want to talk about. The Brewers fall 6-5 in a wacky finish here at American Family Field. Game one of three over the weekend with the Reds. Back with Augie and myself, Dom Catronio, after this on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back with Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers fall 6-5 to the Reds. So just listening to Blake Perkins there in the break, took full ownership for the play. In his own words, he was overthinking it. He was trying to do too much. He thought that statistically, it was a higher percentage play for him, and there were better hitters behind him. He did not explicitly say he lost track of outs, but I think he was trying to bunt for a hit and tie the game and then let Terang or William win it for the Brewers. So in that case, you can see the judgment, but in the execution and the thought, I'd rather you go down swinging, Blake, than do a bunt. And he wore it. I give him kudos for that. He was trying to, you know, do the Brewer thing and hand it to the next guy. And I think this is a moment that Perk is going to bottle up, learn from it. Tomorrow's a new day. Don't make the same mistake twice, because then you didn't learn from it.
Well, I think one thing your manager wants to see is they want to see you swing the bat and put the ball in play and give yourself a chance. You look at what Blake Perkins has done for this ball club. I remember five or six times he's come up with huge hits or game-winning hits or a great play in center field. What he has done so much for this ball club, and I think what he did is exactly what you were talking about. As far as the outs thing, I think it could have been a part of it, but I think even more so is trying to do that special thing to allow a teammate that get the winning run in. But you know what he would have done there? He would have tied the ball game. Tying the ball game puts you in extra innings. With that bullpen you got, in retrospect to what Cincinnati has, I think that puts you on the positive side.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, with Churio on second and two outs, a base hit might win the game.
Because you're totally right.
That's the thing, totally, you know, right. And Perkins really felt that statistically he didn't stand a chance against Diaz. Maybe it was a bad matchup. Maybe he's never seen him well in his career.
Yeah.
There were other factors here at play, but he bunted. He was out, and that's all we'll talk about that. As far as there were a couple positives from this game, the first one I got to talk about is Jackson Churio. On base four times tonight, first time in his career he's done that. A pair of walks, a pair of singles. Also an RBI there on that crazy play with Bowers getting tagged out at the plate. No strikeouts today once again from him. Churio is a guy, Churio's a guy that you're going to watch grow up in the big leagues. So when you see moments like tonight, it doesn't mean, oh my gosh, he's made it, he's fine, he's going to be A-OK. No. This is just one of those little steps that he makes. Right now you just got to limit. Maybe he took three steps forward today and just got to avoid that two steps back sort of thing, right? So it's a long journey to be an everyday big leaguer. He's 20 years old, but there were signs tonight, especially with two strike counts, using the opposite field, the stuff that we saw from him last season in the minor leagues that gave the Brewers the belief to give him the extension they gave him.
I think one thing in becoming a baseball player is two things that you have to have. You have to, number one, you have to learn how to slow the game down. And number two, you have to have patience. And I think what you're going to see a young player like Jackson Churio is you're going to see him at times lose that patience and not slow the game down. And I think that's one thing you're seeing out of him now is, you know, he goes through a part where he struggled and everything wasn't going well. I tell you what, lately I've really watched him, and it looks like he's just being patient. They've talked to him. I think it was ever since the play that we did the game, mm-hmm. where he made that almost made a catch, stopped. Since that game, he's really been a different ball player. I think you would agree with me. He's playing the game a little bit different. He's playing it with, yeah, I'm going to be aggressive, but yet at the same time, I'm going to slow the game down, and I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to let the game come to me, and that's really made a big difference.
Yeah, the two plays, the Miami play, that's game right. one in Miami, right. and then he had the play against the Cubs when he didn't come forward, and Freddie took him down the yeah. tunnel, and also Adames was down there and just kind of talked to him. Well, how about just the month of June now? Because Churio this month is hitting 333. He's 10 for 30 in the month. He has drawn four walks now. He has struck out only six times. His on-base is 412. Granted, it's a very small sample size. 34 plate appearances here in June. We're not going to overreact to 34 plate appearances. But what I'm encouraged with from Churio, I thought the first at-bat against Green was the real eye-opener for me, because we all know Green throws 100. But his hammer slider is where he gets a lot of his strikeouts. And with a 1-1 pitch, he swings and misses at a slider. So now he's already back against the wall, 1-2 count. Lays off a tough slider. Lays off an elevated fastball. Then Hunter goes back to the slider. He stays off of it, misses off the outside corner, and we saw Churio have that swagger back, right? Like that shake in his head. That's outside. I knew it. I saw that. And some pitchers are mad about that, which is fine. But for Churio to feel that confident and to feel that comfortable, you're never really comfortable in the big leagues. But to start, we've seen a little bit of that swagger again, that personality. We weren't seeing that for a little bit of May when he's making those non-decisions in right field and not diving for baseballs. He made a nice play charging a ball in left field earlier today. So you're right. That play, that moment, the Miami series, the Cubs series, where it's like, okay, dude, we're going to keep throwing you out there. You might as well get better, because you're going to keep getting thrown out there.
He is. And, you know, you talk about that at-bat, the first at-bat when he laid off the sliders down and away. Swinging at that first pitch, I think he understood that, you know what, that slider is, this guy throws 100. This guy throws the ball in the outside part of the plate. And if he throws the ball to a good spot, a lot of times he's going to be almost impossible to hit. Great pitchers get that. And Green is a young pitcher that has great talent. Hopefully he can learn and be one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. He's got that kind of talent. But I'll tell you what, that at-bat was two young players going after each other. And I'll tell you what, I give credit to Churio for staying off that breaking ball. That is so difficult to do. And then he saw it once. He was able to lay off and say, you know what, I probably can't hit it anyway. I'm going to take that pitch. But to stay off the pitch and not swing was the more important thing.
Another positive from tonight is William Contreras finally elevating a baseball. And I talked about this on my show last night on Brewers Weekly. Here in the month of June, he hasn't hit a home run. His hard hit rate is a little down, but his damage on hard hit balls has fallen down to an under 300 slug. To elevate a baseball to dead center field, home run, to see that again from William, his ninth of the year, was really encouraging, quite frankly, just because we know what's in there. And I was talking to Ozzie Timmons, hitting coach of the Brewers, earlier today. He said, look, William's the type of guy, he can hit a home run whenever he wants to, but he can't do it if his swing's not where it was. He was out there getting his early work in, trying to get back to where they wanted to be with his plane and that sort of thing. And he's just hitting too many ground balls, and he's trying to force himself to hit home runs. Home runs are hit by accident. And William hitting one to dead center field tells you he's trying to get a good swing, and he's on time, and good things happen when you put a good swing and you're on time. Home runs don't always happen, but man, that's a good sign that you're right on top of it.
I really like that he went to straight center. I went to right center, right straight center with that ball. Because, you know, it tells you one thing. What's he doing? He's being patient. He's waiting on the ball. And that's Contreras. That's what makes him so good. He sits on the, you see at times at the plates, he'll get a ball off the outside corner. He just goes out there and taps it in the right field. That's that patience you have to have as a hitter. And you're probably right. He was probably getting maybe a little bit too aggressive at times, and was probably getting under the ball or staying on getting on top of it a little bit too much, hitting the ball on the ground. But that swing was one of the better swings I think I've seen him take in the last couple of weeks. And it was a big, big swing for the Brewers because it got tied the ball game back up in the bottom of third.
And I know William left his small village on the base paths tonight, but hey, when you hit a home run, a lot can be forgiven. When you're thinking about this Brewers team and you're thinking about a guy like Christian Yelich, who quietly had another solid night, he had two more hits tonight, including a walk as well. He's still hitting 329. And I just want to present this. We were talking about the fact that, hey, maybe it's time to put Bryce Turang in the leadoff spot. And if Yelich's not going to be hitting for power, he's only hit one home run since he's come off the injured list. Do you start to consider putting Yelich back at the top of the order? I know Pat Murphy really wants to keep him in the three spot. But if he's not providing power, maybe you can flip and put, you know, maybe Hoskins can get into the rocking chair there where he's hitting behind William and in front of Adames, where he can get into a better spot to maybe see some more fastballs. And you put Yelich at the top of the order. Maybe you put Terang batting fifth behind a Hoskins or an Adames, whoever it may be in the cleanup spot, and then reset the lineup from there. I just wonder if it's worth considering, because Terang's kind of hit a little bit of a speed bump right now. Yelich continues to hit, just not necessarily hit for power.
I like Terang at the top of the order. I just think he's done just an excellent job, and this is something that you and I had talked about earlier, and I think you suggested it probably, and it was a great move by the Brewers to do it. But you know what? I think Yelly in that third slot, I think as season goes along, you know, you're going to go to periods of time when you're going to say, no, he's not hitting home runs. But I'll tell you what, he's driving the ball the opposite way. He's getting on base. He's giving great at-bats. And, you know, as much as you want that guy at the top of the lineup and get him on base, I'm going to tell you what, when you get to the guys on base and you have to face him, it's not an easy task right now. He's putting the ball in play. He's not striking all that. Sometimes the guy makes a great pitch on him. But I like his patience. I like what he's doing. I think he's going to hit home runs. But you know what? They got other guys that can hit home runs too. And every once in a while, he's going to get into it and drive the ball. I just like the way Yelly's hitting the ball to all fields.
Yeah, he certainly is. And that single to start off the rally in the bottom of the ninth is a perfect example of all that. Augie, you're with us all weekend long. It's good to have you back in the flesh here at American Family Field and not just over the phones. Appreciate your insight all season long, my friend.
Oh, it's great to be here. I got to come back and watch my granddaughter go for the state soccer tournament. So they won tonight 5-2, and they'll play tomorrow night for the state championship.
Oh, boy.
So, Muskego High School, good luck to you.
All right, love it. Shout out to Muskego. All right, we'll take a breather, come back with more after this. More reaction from you, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back, Dom Catronio here. I know I'm still a little nasally right now. Man, allergy season has just been kicking my booty. Tough one for my nose and for the game. Brewers fall 6-5 to the Reds. No need to panic, no need to freak out. One other bright spot I forgot to mention today, Eliezer Hernandez, you know, kept it close and kept it, you know, competitive. And Hobie got back on track too, not allowing a run, getting the final two outs of the sixth inning. But Eliezer getting three innings, saving the rest of the bullpen, didn't allow a run for him. I thought that was huge, given the fact that you still got Hudson and Piamps and Koenig and everybody. I know Koenig got up a couple of times tonight, but all those guys are available tomorrow and throughout the rest of the weekend, no problem. As today began, another stretch of 13 in a row for the Brewers and trying to battle through this. Because you get these three games at home, you get three games in Anaheim against the Angels, and they're not very good. Then you get four games with the Padres, who are playing a lot better as of late. Four games next weekend with San Diego. And then you come back home for three games against the Rangers. You get that cross-country flight, and you have to play that night on Monday. And you're facing the defending world champs, who are trying to get out of neutral right now before your next off day 2 weeks from yesterday. So they're in a big stretch right now, kind of a prove-it stretch, where you're going to face some teams that you know you're better than, but need to, quote-unquote, prove it. Looking at the standings as the rest of the out-of-town scoreboard today, the Cardinals blank the Cubs on a windy day down on Wrigley Field. 3-0 Cardinals win. Cardinals climb back to 500. They're 34-34. The Cubs fall to four games under 500. They continue their tailspin. They have the worst record in the National League in the month of June, and they have the second worst record in baseball since the Brewers saw them here at American Family Field, only better than the Chicago White Sox. So tough times down in the second city. And if you care about the standings, we are in Father's Day weekend, so this is where I can give you some light approval. I personally only care in July. Brewers are 40-29. First place, 5.5 clear, 5.5 clear of the Cardinals at 34-34. Reds are now 34-35, one game under 500, six games back. They have now won 8 of their last 10, and also, I believe it is 12 of their last 18. They are on quite a stretch right now. Pittsburgh is 33-36. They are seven games back. They got back in the win column tonight in Colorado. They won 5-2. And then the Cubs in last place at 33-37, 7.5 games back on the season, and with a minus 20 run differential. What I look at with the Brewers upcoming here, tomorrow you've got Bryce Wilson on the mound, and then on Sunday you've got Colin Ray. I wonder, I know it's listed firm that Bryce is going to start. I really would have thought this would have been a stretch that the Brewers would have considered the opener with Jared Koenig, given Friedel's left-handed. You would prefer to face Eli De La Cruz from the right-handed side. Candelario, switch hitter. You don't want to face him from the right side, but he's white hot right now, so it doesn't really matter. I wondered if the Brewers were going to roll the dice with that. I don't think they will, since they got Bryce still listed as the starter for tomorrow. But then on Sunday, it'll be Colin Ray. As for tomorrow, the Reds, they're going to roll out the left-hander Andrew Abbott, who's been nasty against the Brewers. He's 5-5, a 3.28 ERA. And then on Sunday, as we wrap up this series, first one of the year for the Reds here, Frankie Montas, who the Brewers got to the last time they saw him against Colin Ray. We'll hear from the manager up next, Pat Murphy, reacting to everything that went down in today's game. Highlights a little bit later, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Thunderstorms can happen anytime in Wisconsin, and as an authorized Generac dealer, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you up to $1,500 off a whole home generator. Visit Sider.com today. That's Seider.com. Brewers fall 6-5 to the Reds, but darn it, it was nothing short of entertaining. Manager Pat Murphy on the bunt from Blake Perkins at end of the game, among other topics with the media earlier tonight.
It's a young person's moment. You know, I think Perk is young in the game, and obviously he regrets the decision, but we've had so many young players step up this year, and Perk included, like so many great things he's done, and over and over, won games for us defensively, offensively, with the bunt, whatever. Churio's night tonight, four times on base. Joey Ortiz walking a number of times and being on base. And all these young players have done so much, there's going to be these moments. That's kind of like a youthful moment. Like, no, it makes no sense. But, I love this kid, man. And I know it's tearing him up inside worse than anyone. But, hey, we put ourselves in a position once again like we have most every game. The 69 games we've played put ourselves in a position with those young guys to compete and come right down to the end. We get a tough call at the plate where it goes against us, that's the way it happens. And, everything else, again, you can look at a lot of positives. We didn't have the best offensive night early, but credit to their pitcher. Did a great job. So, it's unfortunate. It hurts. It hurts me inside because I'm hurting for him, not only for our team, but I'm hurting for him because, ill-advised decision. But
Or how do you handle that conversation with him when, outcome, right? And
right.
How it's weighing on him and how much he cares?
Yeah, I mean, I know he just didn't realize, I think, what the exact situation was. Maybe he did. I haven't talked to him. I will talk to him, but it's not something where you correct him. He knows by now. That's not the possibility there. But I think that you spend time with him, and he'll have to bounce back. That's what you have to do. I think he will. He has all year. He responds, and he didn't lose the game. It's just that decision might not have been the one anybody else would have picked right then. But we had plenty of other opportunities to score runs tonight, and didn't. But again, credit some goes to them and the way they swing the bat.
First, Freddie was off to such a good start with the last couple outings. Now it seems like kind of the same thing, that blow up ending. Are you seeing?
No, I thought Freddie was better than he was in the last few outings. But, you give an infield hit and then a ball in the gap and then a homer. Again, a little probably affected with the speed on the bases, probably affects your focus a little bit because those are two prolific base stealers on base, and or those two guys in the order were that way. And Mike led to De La Cruz's pitch might have been because of the way Friedel can run, and Candelaria's pitch might have been because of De La Cruz at third. So other than that, I thought he threw the ball pretty well, and I thought there was a lot of good moments for Freddie. But that's a hot team, and, you know, every time they hit the ball hard, it was productive for them.
Murph, you mentioned Churio getting on base multiple times. What have you liked with his approach up at the plate, just kind of today and recently with the stretch that he's been on?
Yeah, he's come along nicely. Strikes and balls are first. You know what I mean? He's taking balls and swinging at strikes. A couple lapses here and there, but by and large, been pretty good. That's the foundation of it. You know, and we knew the kid has the talent and ability, so hopefully that stays consistent.
He's got the chance to turn the ship around, does Freddie. It's, you know, the same script as he did last year. Sooner as opposed to later, obviously, in his eyes. We'll relive it with some highlights coming up next. Brewers fall 6-5 to the Reds on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
All right, game one of a three-game set with the Reds, maybe the two best teams in the division, meeting here in Milwaukee. Hunter Green, ace, opening day starter for Cincinnati, up against Freddie Peralta, ace, opening day starter for the Brewers. Things opened up in the third inning. A solo homer from TJ Friedel off of Peralta made it 1-0 Reds. Quick response, though, in the bottom half, but who else but the baby bowl?
Here's Contreras, and a fly ball to center. This is unloaded. It is back and tie game. William Contreras with a solo homer. All knotted one apiece.
His ninth home run of the season, as called by Jeff Levering. But the Reds would punch right back. A two-out RBI single by India in the fourth gave them the lead back. And then a three-run fifth, highlighted by a two-run homer from Jamer Candelario, made it all of a sudden 5-1 Reds. When you look ahead now to the bottom of the fifth inning, the Brewers got a leadoff walk, which is usually the patron saint of good things to happen. William Contreras reached on a bobble in a poorly played double play ball. It wasn't technically an error, but in your mind it is on Ellie De La Cruz. The next batter was Christian Yelich. He hit a screamer toward left, but it was deflected by the shortstop, and that would put runners on the corners for Willy Adames at the plate.
Now the pitch. Bouncer hit to short. This could be two. Bobbled by De La Cruz, and the throw is going to be late. Christian Yelich is going to wind up at third on an errant throw from De La Cruz beside the bobble.
In fact, scoring on errors would be a continuing theme once again in the sixth inning from the infield, this time with Blake Perkins aboard.
They're 96, swinging a bouncer hit to third and bobbled, and the throw is going to be way off target. Perkins is going to score, and on the second, goes to Rang on a bad throw by Candelario.
So that made it 6-3 at the time. Brewers still trailing. We fast forward now to the ninth inning, as Eliezer Hernandez has been pitching very well in mop-up duty, keeping it a three-run deficit. After a walk to De La Cruz in the ninth inning with one out, caught another blunder from De La Cruz and from the Reds, forgetting how many outs there were.
Working from the stretch, De La Cruz about a five-step lead. He's holding. This one hit in the air to right center and going to be caught. Frelick. This is going to be an easy double play. De La Cruz is at third base.
De La Cruz forgot how many outs there were. He thought there were two outs. He was on third. Another mistake for him, and he still wasn't done with the mistakes. Bottom of the ninth, down by three. Closer Alexis Diaz on the mound. A single by Yelich. A single by Adames. First and second, nobody out. Reese at the plate.
And running, here it is. Bouncer hit to short. And bobbled by De La Cruz. Wow.
What a bad night for De La Cruz. An error would load the bases for the Brewers with nobody out. Frelick would hit a soft line out for the first out of the inning. Joey Ortiz would draw a bases loaded walk, one of three on the night for Ortiz, that put the winning run on base, the tying run in scoring position on second base. Bases loaded, one out. The kid, Jackson Churio, at the plate.
Diaz ready again, the pitch. Line to right. One is in. Here comes the second run. And he's going to be out now.
Well, they called him safe. After review, he was out. It was a weird sequence by Will Little. Tagging, it was odd. They got the call right, though, after review. Then, though, the puzzling play, Blake Perkins with two outs and men on second and third, down by one, 6-5. Perkins decided to bunt. And if he had gotten it down, maybe we're talking about what a genius move it was. But instead, he popped it out, back to the pitcher Diaz, and that's all she wrote tonight. Brewers fall 6-5 in game one of the series to the Reds. We'll be back tomorrow. Preview it coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, let's get ready to say goodnight here. Enough has been said about this one. Put it away, write it in your journal, and wake up tomorrow, what should be a beautiful day for baseball. On Father's Day weekend here at the ballpark, hope you're going to be out here. Tomorrow's the Sal Frelick bobblehead, which is a great bobblehead, if I do say so myself. And then on Sunday, you've got the Brewmaster shirt giveaway for the first 10,000 fans on Father's Day. Should be a packed house here these next 2 days, so I'm really looking forward to it. The Reds are feisty, man. They're a really good team. I said it a couple of weeks ago on Brewers Weekly. They are the team I fear in the division. I fear them more than I fear the Cardinals, and I know the Cardinals are technically a better record. The Reds aren't going to get worse when they get the reinforcements back, like Noelvi Marte and like Christian Encarnacion Strand. But one thing the Brewers can do to keep them at bay, go sign some starting pitching. Because, like I said on last night's program, I know Matt Arnold's working the phones. I know he's trying to figure it out. But it takes two to tango. You know, there's going to be a lot of discussion about what gets done, what doesn't get done. But I think between now and July 30th, the Brewers will make a deal to get starting pitching. They just have to. It has to be done. The Brewers fall today 6-5, but they're back tomorrow with Bryce Wilson versus Andrew Abbott. Our coverage will begin at 2 o'clock. I've got you covered for Brewers warm-up. First pitch is at 3:10, as the on-deck show will begin at 2:35 for all your tailgating hangouts out there in the parking lot. That's going to do it for us here this evening. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson, and to Augie for joining us in person. I'm Dominic Catronio. Also, one last shout-out to Bill Schroeder, former employee here on WTMJ, mind you. Bill Schroeder celebrating 30 years of broadcasting here for the Brewers. What a treat. What an amazing guy to work with. And, man, I have learned so much baseball from that guy. And I'm so grateful that the Brewers had this chance to celebrate him. Brought back all the old friends, Matt Vasgersian, Matt LePay, Darren Sutton, Jim Paschke. It was an awesome day to see a lot of familiar faces here at the ballpark. So congrats to you, Rock. Cheers. Hope you have a great celebration. And hey, you're only 20 or so years shy of Bob Uecker. Has nothing to sniff at for 30 years, of course. Bill Schroeder, congratulations once again, my friend. My name's Dominic Catronio. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.